Amen. You may be seated. Let's open our Bibles again together, this time to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We're going to take a break from our series on the book of Romans this morning in light of the death of our beloved brother, Denny Bookwalter. And we're going to remember together what's true from God's Word about the sovereignty of God and about the goodness of God. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, that paragraph there. And we're going to focus our attention on verse 11 and on some other parts of Scripture as well. There are perhaps any number of things on our mind this morning. Denny's death, the momentous occasion of a presidential inauguration last week, some personal trial that you're going through, maybe, or just the joys and the struggles of ordinary life. But whatever's on your mind this morning, it's good for us to remember the sovereignty of God over all things, that He works all things according to the counsel of His will and for His glory and our good. Let's look to Him in prayer then, and we'll begin. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You would help us now as we come again to Your Word. We pray that You would teach us more of what it means that You work all things according to the counsel of Your will, for Your glory, for our good, and help us to take comfort in that great truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, reading verses 11 through 14, and again our focus is going to be on verse 11. This is the Word of God. In Him, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. I want us to consider two things together from this passage and from other parts of Scripture. You can see them in your sermon notes. First, God works all things according to the counsel of His will. And second, God works all things for His glory and for our good. Truths perhaps not unfamiliar to us, but truths we need to remember again together, especially this morning, and take to heart for our comfort and encouragement. So first, God works all things according to the counsel of His will. That's what it says there in verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. And the idea in verse 11 is that we've been predestined to salvation, not randomly or because we deserved it, but because it was according to God's purpose, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him, the purpose of God. But our predestination is not the only thing God purposed. It's not the only thing that's according to the purpose of God. Paul speaks of the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So it's not just our predestination to salvation that comes under this umbrella of the purpose of God or the counsel of His will. All things come under that umbrella. All things are according to His purpose and according to the counsel of His will. The story He wrote, so to speak, doesn't just include our predestination. It includes all things. Not some things, or even most things, but all things. Not just spiritual things or really important things, but all things. Not just good things, but all things. including the hard things. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Romans 11, 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. So he doesn't work all things according to the counsel of the will of man. He works all things according to the counsel of his own will. He doesn't consult man. He did not consult man when he made his plan. He did not consult man when he wrote the story of mankind, the story of the world, the story of our lives. He wrote the story based on the counsel of his own will, his own good will, his wise will, his holy will. Romans 11:34 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? No one has been the counselor of the Lord. No one has given him counsel, though we've all tried. He doesn't need it, because his plan is perfect. And his knowledge and wisdom and goodness, they are infinite. You and I could not add any knowledge to God, could we? Because his knowledge is infinite. You and I could not add any wisdom to God, because his wisdom also is infinite. You and I could not add any goodness to God, because his goodness is infinite. And he used every bit of his infinite knowledge and wisdom and goodness when he wrote the story of our lives. The God who works all things according to the counsel of his will is a God who is infinite in knowledge and wisdom and goodness. And that can help us when hard things happen in our lives. Like the death of a loved one. We can know that nothing happens in this world by accident. Nothing happens in this world by chance. Nothing is meaningless. Nothing is purposeless. All things are full of meaning and purpose. All things happen according to the counsel of God's will. All things happen according to the knowledge and wisdom and goodness of our Heavenly Father. B.B. Warfield once wrote, in the infinite wisdom of the Lord of all the earth, each event falls with exact precision into its proper place in the unfolding of his divine plan. The Heidelberg Catechism speaks about God's providence as, quote, his almighty and ever-present power, whereby, as with his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. We may not understand why certain things come to us. And we may experience deep grief and pain when they come to us. But they come to us not by chance, but by God's fatherly hand. The hand of omnipotence. The hand of mercy. The hand of love. The Heidelberg Catechism goes on to ask the question, what does it benefit us to know that God has created all things and still upholds them by his providence? Answer, we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and with a view to the future, we can have a firm confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from his love. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what are the decrees of God? And answers, the decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby, for his own glory, he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. God has ordained beforehand everything that comes to pass in time and space. And by his providence, he works all those things. The Catechism defines his providence as follows. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. So as one author put it, his providence in time is as comprehensive as his decree from eternity. Whatever he's decreed, he brings to pass. This means that nothing that happens in our lives can mess up God's perfect plan for our lives. We have our own plans for our lives, and they may be good plans. But again, Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And we can rest in the purpose of the Lord. The purpose of the Lord is good and wise and holy, because the Lord is good and wise and holy. And when his purpose and plan is different from our purpose and plan, even painfully different, we can rest our head on the goodness of his purpose. We can rest our heart on the wisdom of his plan. And that is what we can do as we grieve the loss of our dear brother, Denny Bookwalter. That is what we can pray that God would help Nancy to do and the rest of the family and others in our midst who have lost loved ones. We can rest our head and heart on the wisdom and goodness of God's purpose and plan. And may he give us grace to do that. May we be able to say in truth, in sincerity, what we're going to sing together at the end of the service later. Whate'er my God ordains is right. Let me encourage you to take out your hymnals for just a second and turn to number 108. Or you can just listen if you like. Number 108, whate'er my God ordains is right. And let me read the first two verses of the hymn. Whate'er my God ordains is right. His holy will abideth. I will be still whate'er he doth, and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. Whate'er my God ordains is right. He never will deceive me. He leads me by the proper path. I know he will not leave me. I take content what he has sent. His hand can turn my griefs away, and patiently I wait his day. We'll come back to the rest of the hymn at the end, but you can put it aside or away for now. God works all things according to the counsel of his will. But not only does he do that, as we see in verse 11 in our passage for today, he also, secondly, works all things for his glory. and for our good. The most well-known passage that teaches this wonderful truth is Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All things, it says, work together for our good, for our spiritual good, for our eternal good. All things work together for the good of conforming us more into the image of Christ. As verse 29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Ezra 8:22 says, "The hand of our God is for good on all who seek him." Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So even when we experience hardship and suffering and loss, God is pursuing us with his goodness and mercy. Remember what Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." God meant it for good because he is good, and he does good. Psalm 119, verse 68. And it's the same for everything that happens in our lives, too. God works all things for our good. We may wonder at times, understandably, how could this be for my good? And as we think about this, we need to make sure we understand that the evil that we sometimes experience is evil. This isn't about pretending that the evil is good, or that the pain isn't painful, or that the loss isn't a loss. Evil is evil. Pain is painful. Loss is terrible. Those things exist in our world because of sin. And it's right for us to respond to them with grief and with sorrow, and a longing that things wouldn't be this way, which really is a longing for heaven. But even as we call evil, evil, and even as we are honest and transparent about our pain and about our sorrow, we trust that our sovereign God knows what he's doing. And in the mysteries of his providence, he has ordained that loss for our good in Christ. He is working that loss to bring about good. Behind a frowning providence, he is hiding a smiling face, a face of love and of mercy and of kindness, a face that shines upon us and is gracious to us and gives us peace. And we can know also that God has ordained it for his glory. And what more could we desire deep down as Christians than for God to be glorified, than for God to be magnified and praised and honored, whether by life or by death? Isn't that our chief end, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever? That's the reason we exist. God created us for his glory. God redeemed us for his glory. Our life is to be for his glory. And even our death is for his glory. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Psalm 116, verse 15. As Paul said in Philippians 1:20, "It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." Romans 14:7 through 9 says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." So if we know that even our death is for God's glory as believers, if we are confident of that fact based on Scripture, then we don't have to fear death. We don't have to be afraid of dying. Because we've put our trust in Christ, who conquered death for us. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. If our trust is in Christ, we do not have to fear death. If the ones we love are trusting in Christ, we don't have to fear their death. For not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. It can separate us from our body for a time, but it cannot separate us from our Savior. Romans 8:38 and 39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we think about Denny or others who've died in the Lord, we can be sure that their death did not separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, their death brought them into the fullness of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And one day we will join them in that fullness, in the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. But for now, we remain and we lament. And whenever hard things happen in our lives, even though we know they're for God's glory and our good, it is proper to lament, to grieve, to mourn. Again, like Jesus himself did at the death of Lazarus. But what anchors our soul in that grief is the truth of God's sovereignty and goodness, that he works all things for his glory and our good. Author Tim Challies has written quite a bit on his blog over the last few months about the experience of losing his firstborn son, Nick, last November. Nick was a senior in college, and he died suddenly and unexpectedly of an unknown cause while playing outside with friends. And Tim has written quite a lot about loss, and he wrote a post the other day about how we tend to make projections in our minds about what the future will be like. And especially in the midst of grief, those projections are often muddled. He wrote the following: I'm not particularly prone to worry, but when I do, I tend to worry about my children. They are, after all, my foremost God-given responsibility, and they are, after all, what in all the world is most precious to me. Some recent ruminating on the matter has shown me my tendency to imagine a future in which I only know loss, only pain, only sorrow. I've been that visionary worrywart who sees a future of evil, not good, of sorrow so deep it displaces all joy. It has taken the loss of one of my children to help me understand the degree to which my imagination has been faulty, to understand that it only ever projected a very small and very inaccurate part of the reality. Losing a child is more painful than I ever could have imagined, but God's grace in it has been more constant than I ever could have imagined. The loss has been more grievous, but the joy has been more present than in any fantasy I could ever have conjured. I never would have foreseen the ways in which God's promises have proven true, the ways in which he has comforted us by his Spirit and his people, the ways in which we have been upheld by prayer, in which we've been encouraged by words of truth and acts of love. I had eyes to see some of the pain, but little of the joy, to see much of the grief, but so little of the grace. My imagination was faulty in what it foresaw, and faulty in what it failed to foresee. Then he concludes, there is no sense in which I'm ready to say that the grace we have experienced balances out the grief, in which I am ready to say I would not change the situation even if I could, I suppose that day may come. For now, my confidence is in the goodness and sovereignty of God. My trust is that His plan is perfect, even when it doesn't feel like it. And when worries return, when I feel fear for my girls, when my mind clouds and my pulse quickens, instead of looking forward to project grief, I look back to remember grace. Instead of looking inward, I look upward. Instead of dwelling on projections, I dwell on providence. As you and I face grief and loss, we too can place our confidence in the goodness and sovereignty of God. We too can trust that His plan is perfect, even when it doesn't feel like it. We too can remember the grace of God and look upward to Him and dwell on His providence, whereby all things come to us not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. There is nothing that comes to us, nothing that comes into our day, nothing that comes into our life, that comes to us by chance. All things come to us by the hand of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father who works all things for His glory and for our good. Again, not that all things are good. Some things, like death, are bad. But God ordains all things and works all things for our good. So we don't have to be afraid. If God works all things for His glory and our good, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. Remember what Habakkuk said at the end of Habakkuk 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. No matter what comes our way, we have God. God is with us. God will never leave us or forsake us. God is our source of strength and our source of hope, and therefore we can trust in Him, come what may. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So, God works all things according to the counsel of His will, and God works all things for His glory and for our good. That's the truth. That's what's true. No matter what we may think or feel in the midst of our grief and loss, the truth of God is the anchor of our souls. Turn once again to number 108 in the hymnal. And we'll close this morning by reading the second half of the hymn, verses 3 and 4, number 108. Verse 3. Whate'er my God ordains is right. Though now this cup in drinking may bitter seem to my faint heart, I take it, all unshrinking. My God is true. Each morn anew, sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart, and pain and sorrow shall depart. Whate'er my God ordains is right, here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, yet am I not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. and so to him I leave it all. Our Father's care surrounds us, and his care is perfect. Even in sorrow and death, we are not forsaken. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. He holds us that we shall not fall. Otherwise, we would fall. But he holds us up. He holds us fast. And so to him, by faith, we leave it all. Let's pray together. God, we pray that you would give us faith to believe the truth of your word, that you work all things according to the counsel of your will and for your glory and our good. We pray that your care would surround us, especially as we grieve the loss of our brother, Denny, and as we go through whatever you have ordained for us. Please hold us so we don't fall. Strengthen and support us by your grace, and enable us to seek your glory in all things. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a minute to think and pray about what we've heard, and then we'll sing together.